The episode you're about to listen to is from an unreleased episode of an earlier incarnation of the Away Team. These were Adam and I's first impressions of Star Trek Discovery back in 2017. There may be issues with events and future events within the show, but this hasn't been heard since it was deleted from the internet back in 2018. Sit back and enjoy.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chilled.
Welcome to The Away Team, a Star Trek podcast. A podcast that is designed to comment and critique each episode of Star Trek in canonical order, with a bit of a twist.
Let's do it, motherfuckers!
Welcome to the Star Trek Discovery Recap, an Away Team minisode. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
All right, so we are recapping and reviewing episode number 6 of Star Trek Discovery. Lethe? Is that how you would pronounce this episode? Lethe?
Lethe? Lethe?
Lethe?
Lethe?
Rute? I don't know.
What does it mean? A river in Hades whose water, when drunk, made the souls of the dead forget their life on Earth. I think it's Lethe.
Lethe?
Or Lave.
To blathe, that's something I think of. To blathe, which is like a Princess Bride reference.
Yeah, it's because it's two syllables, L E and then T H E, so it's lathe, right?
Lathe.
Yeah, fuck it.
All right,
it's sure, that river in Hades that you forget shit. It's Neverland River. That's what it is.
Good episode.
I really
enjoyed it a lot. It was a good improvement over last week's episode. One of the things I kind of dug about it is, I mean, yeah, it kind of felt more Star Trek-y.
Yeah, it did.
Than most of the episodes. But it really, really laid some great groundwork going into the original series. Because you get a lot more of Michael's backstory.
Yeah.
And Sarek. And then it's kind of funny that there's, because of Sarek and, you know, Spock and then Michael, you know, there's that fundamentalist movement, you know, for purity of Vulcan.
Oh, yeah. That tripped me out when I saw it. I was like, oh, shit.
I knew that dude was, you know, suspicious.
He looked sketchy, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Like, you know, he kind of come in, you know, as Vulcan, be like, yeah, what's up, man? No, I'm cool. Yeah, no, we good, bro. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna blow his motherfucking up.
It's a Romulan spy, motherfucker.
and so we get that groundwork, and then Lorca kind of does something a little out of character, which kind of in this, as much as it being a Michael episode, was really much of a Lorca episode.
We actually got a lot of character development for a few characters.
I mean, you know, we have. It's funny because we see kind of the relationship between Michael and Tilly grow, which I kind of dug. You know, them. You know, he's like trying to teach her, and he's like, you know what I don't, you know, that she's, what does she say? Like, she's not, like, she doesn't have all this experience, but she makes up for it in personality. And they're like, you know, and then she's just basically saying that personality isn't going to get you very far to being the, you know, get you into the first officer program. And then she's like, well, that's only something people with no personality say. I didn't mean you. I mean, and then she's at the replicator, and then she's like, you know, I want this. And she's like, no, you need to balance out with a high, you know, she's getting her to eat right and do all that stuff.
Here's my thing, though. That replicator, every time they order something from it, it tells you the good stuff in it and that it's good for you. What happens if you order, like, a fucking cheesesteak or something?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, this is going to clog your arteries.
Well, when I saw that, I was like, going, holy shit, they have like that nutrition guide that they have at like all the fucking fast food places, you know, that tells you how much fat and shit on there. Like, shit, it permeates in 23rd century too? God damn.
You order a quarter pounder and it's all black alert, black alert.
should I notify sickbay that you will be dying of a respiratory infection in about 2 minutes?
Why don't you try minding your own fucking business, computer?
You know, why don't you try minding his dick is what I'm gonna And then the replicator be like, what dick? Oh,
that's fucked up.
Then out of nowhere, these guys with tilted caps come out. Ah, you just got owned by the replicator.
Be like, I have one question though. Who programmed this fucking replicator to be such an asshole? You see one dude in the back raise his hand. Me, bitch. Get your life together.
Me, bitch. What you want?
What you gonna do?
Yeah, I got a problem.
You want to fight about it? Yeah. No, but I agree 100% with you that this felt more like a Trek episode. And I have to say, I know we were talking about this we were talking a little bit too much about it before we started recording. But every episode I'm digging a lot more and more. Just the flow of it and the feel of it. And this episode, I want to say, yeah, it was the most like a traditional Trek show. But to me, this was the first one that really blended the old and the new together in an elegant way. Like it wasn't forced. It made sense. You know, so I mean,
we got the
first
name drop. We got the first name drop of the Constitution class Enterprise.
Yes.
You know, we got, you know, where she's like, you know, when you're running down the corridors of a Constitution class USS Enterprise, I was like, oh yeah, there we go. And, you know, and then, you know, also even just using what really kind of linked it to was the relationship between Michael and Sarek. But what you realize is that it really isn't about Michael and Sarek. It boils down to Sarek and Spock. Because if you remember, for those of you that have ever watched the original series, they only had one episode where Sarek appeared as the ambassador, and then basically, you know, just kind of they introduced, and then, you know, Spock and Sarek and Amanda are talking, and then all of a sudden Kirk's like, oh, hey, we're on Vulcan. Why don't you go and visit your family while you're here? And then Spock looks and goes, Ambassador Sarek is my father. And Kirk had kind of that look of like, Jesus, I have more like emotion with my fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah. Well, he was
with
in
my
food
than anything.
Sarek was in TNG a couple episodes too, wasn't that him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the real things is that Sarek had opposed Spock's entry into Starfleet. And that was always kind of a source of contention between them until we got to, I think it was Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, because at the end, Spock, you know, comes back with the whole Katra thing. And then he's like, as I remember, I opposed your entry into Starfleet. Perhaps that was an error, you know, and it took that long for them to kind of come together and kind of like, okay.
But then they never really explained fully why he opposed it. You just kind of assume because he wanted him to do a Vulcan thing. And that's true. He did. But this episode of fucking Discovery fills in that gap.
Yes,
so perfectly. Like I was like, oh wow, like I'm okay with this.
Yeah, that was what I was too, because like I saw and I go, oh my god, that totally what this does is kind of what Rogue One does for that what everybody said was such a lame aspect in Star Wars when it was you know the trench scene. You know, it's like, really, you just have a trench that lobs a hole right to the core and blows up the Death Star?
Right.
You know, and then it's like, but now Rogue One kind of sets that right, and then you have the same thing that happens here, is you have this relationship, and then it's a tenuous relationship because he was like, okay, well, since Michael's not going to do it, I'll give it to Spock, because he is my son. And then Spock, in turn, ends up saying, you know what, I'm going to Starfleet. Deuces! You know, and then, you know, then he's even more
fuck
pissed.
You, Dad, I'm gonna do what I want.
But then it also kind of rings with how it was in the J.J. Abrams reboot. You know, no Vulcan has ever turned down the Vulcan Academy. Well, since I'm half human, then your image remains untarnished, you know.
It
was kind of that. And you can kind of imagine that he was probably, like we saw in the movie, he was probably teased as a kid, you know, for being half human, you know, because regardless of what race you are.
However,
you know, they're still dicks.
Vulcans tease children.
Yeah.
But
this is your 735th attempt to elicit an emotional response from me. You know?
Right. So I did want to, we got to point this out, is Steve got slapped with the mighty dick of cannon. It's so funny. So there's a part in this, and it's the very beginning, right? It's the
yeah,
first scene.
Yeah, it's the very beginning. Yeah.
I couldn't remember if the jogging scene was first or this.
I think the jogging scene was first, and then it's like right out. But it's okay. Right in the beginning. It's like in the
so
beginning.
Lorca and that new dude, I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, I'll look it up.
They're suddenly like storming a fucking Klingon ship, and then you start seeing that it's a hologram. They're basically on a holodeck.
Laser and tag, basically.
Fucking Steve. He was like, holodeck, fuck this bullshit. And then I quickly went to memory alpha. I'm like, please
Ash
make
Tyler.
This make sense. Huh?
Ash Tyler. That's the guy's name.
Oh, okay. I was like, who? What the fuck are you talking about? I went to memory alpha because I'm like, please. Please let me connect this in some way. Not so I could show up Steve, but because I'm like, if this doesn't connect in canon, this is too big of a deal. Like,
I'm flipping my TV over. That's what's happening here.
Right. So I found that during this time period of the original Enterprise, which is what we're in, there was holographic technology. So one instance, and they pulled this not from a live action show. They pulled this from the animated fucking series, which is canon.
Yeah.
So the 10 forward, basically, the way they did the original Enterprise is they didn't have a 10 forward. They had recreation rooms.
Yeah.
And I think there was one on every deck. And one of them, a recreation room on deck 5, this is from Memory Alpha, was also the place where Captain Kirk came to eat a chicken sandwich and drink coffee in 2268, only to discover Tribbles had also gotten into the food. I'm reading the wrong one. at least one type of recreation room was capable of holographic projection. By 2270, the Enterprise was outfitted with such a room in Area 39 of the ship. The rec room was capable of creating pre-programmed illusions using holographic scenes, simulated weather, including wind and temperature, and sounds played from audio tapes. and they even have images of it and all that shit. So I was like, fuck. So I had to, I gotta give Discovery mad respect. Because they kept true to canon, but they picked something that was so. You could tell that in the writers' room, they're like, I want there to be a holodeck, guys. We need to make this make sense. And someone was like, look what I found on Memory Alpha, motherfucker.
And what I told Adam is, I completely forgot because I remember back when they did the Next Generation and they introduced the holodeck, and they were saying, well, actually, the holodeck was already introduced in Star Trek lore, and it was through the animated series. And when he said that to me, I was like, I mean, of course, I was still like, still, you know, like that with him. But, you know, I was like, fuck, that's right. They did have, I remember they did that, but they never showed it in the live action, just in the, because obviously the technology wasn't there yet.
And then also, last thing I'm going to say on this, this is just a testament how up to date Memory Alpha is. So I saw this line yesterday, but I don't know exactly when it was put. But if you look up hologram on Memory Alpha, in the third paragraph down in the history section, it says, outside of the Federation, Klingons and Romulans were also known to occasionally use such devices. And it says, DIS, Battle at the Binary Stars. Mm-hmm. So now Discovery is in Memory Alpha.
Memory Alpha.
So we can't fucking argue with it anymore.
Right, now it's canon.
Because Memory Alpha is the Bible of Star Trek.
Right.
You can't. You just can't. You know, I'm not talking Memory Beta.
Right.
Memory Alpha.
One of the other things I really wanted to kind of touch on was Ash. If the fan theory is what everybody thinks it is, he's doing a great impression of a human.
What are you talking about?
The fan theory that he's actually the Klingon.
Ooh.
That's the fan theory.
I've been trying to stay away from a lot of stuff because I don't want negativity. I just want to watch the show and come up to my own conclusions on it. So I haven't really seen a lot of the fan theories. But yeah, he's being an incredible human.
Because the fan theory, because the last thing we saw, because one of the things is that the actor that's playing Ash has been credited in episodes that technically the actor we have not seen. So people are assuming if he's in episodes that we haven't seen, but the Klingons are there, he must be that Klingon, the follower of whatever, you know,
Do you think? Because wasn't the chick...
She said you have to give up everything. She had a plan to combine all the houses, and he would have to give up everything.
So maybe he's been genetically altered.
Right.
To look human.
To look human. Which then would also coincide with the humans that were Klingons that got that infiltrated the Federation. Or the trouble,
another
trouble
slick way. Another slick way. They're putting them together.
So but then that's the fan theory, is that he's that. And I was thinking, like, well, if he's that, I was like, and then just the way he's integrating and the way he's like, you know, the captain digs him. And I love how Lorca's over there saying, well, being outside of Seattle doesn't mean you're from Seattle. You know, he's hitting him on technicalities and shit. And then him with Michael, especially towards the end. And when, you know, Sarek was rejecting her from his Katra. And he's like, when somebody's dying, they're not looking on their failures, you know, on people who, you know, their failures. It's something else. And then that's when she discovered what had happened. And so when I was watching him, I'm like going, damn, he's coming off as being like, if this fan theory is true, he's coming off the slickest fucking person ever.
But then I'm a little curious as to how he, because it's not just looking like a human. He's behaving
like it.
Like a human.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay. You know, but that's really kind of the thing. And so, you know, I'm kind of looking at it as that and kind of seeing, you know, obviously if we can find anything. But the other big turn was Captain Lorca's whole story arc in this episode. You know, where he, and it's funny because he kind of takes a little bit of a diversion from what he's been to when, you know, helping Sarek, and then he's doing this whole, well, if there's any chance for peace, I was kind of like, since when are you, you know, like in for peace? Like you're looking to win this war, but you know, he's doing it to basically, I think he was doing it to kind of manipulate Michael in a little bit of a way to make Michael on his side.
Yeah,
because I know there's apprehension on Michael's side, but then there was that moment where he went to Ash and he's like, bring her back without a scratch, and then he's like, oh, and he goes, I'll bring it back, and he's like, I'm talking about, and then he gestures to Michael.
Yeah, it's like she's so important to him.
Yeah, and then the fact that I love where he's like, you know, bring her back safely or don't come back. I was like, oh, right. Fuck.
I was like, damn, that's the boss you don't want, bro. Like, right. Listen, you bring, if you don't have her, you might as well die out there. Because exactly. I don't give a fuck.
You better die out there or I'm going to blow you out of the fucking scar.
Right.
You know, but yeah. And then that whole relationship with him and the Admiral, which I obviously knew that there was something between them. But then it kind of leaves you to like, did he plan for her to die?
Why do I recognize the actress that's playing the actress?
You know, John said the same thing. My brother said the same thing. He was like, I've seen her before. And I looked up her IMDb. She's been in TV like everywhere. So it's possible that we've seen her somewhere. It's that, you know, that face you recognize.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so it was kind of like where he's like, I know somebody who might be able to do it. And I was like going, oh, she's going to die. You know, and then when she said, we'll talk about this when I get back, I was like, oh, she's going to die. Because he's obviously not going to lose the ship. But as I was telling Adam before, there's something more. We heard about him blowing up his ship where, you know, he blew up everybody on there. But I'm like, there's more to him. Like, there's something. Like, there must have been something on that ship for him to blow everybody else up and not him. Because he's sleeping with a phaser under his pillow. He's pulling a Martin Riggs. You know, he's talking to Saru and he's got a phaser in his back pocket. You're like, dude, like, ease up on the cocaine. It will reduce the paranoia. You know?
Yeah, it's... There's something going, like, we know what we, this is what we know already. We know that he pulled the trigger and destroyed the ship of his crew because he didn't want his crew to be, it was for a noble reason, I guess, but he didn't want his crew to be, captured by the Klingons. But then he didn't go down with his ship. He could have done that inside the ship. You know, right. So there's something off.
Right.
Yeah.
There's something a little weird.
Something a little strange.
And then of course, you know, Stinnett, you know, the engineer was just,
this motherfucker is on like, one, dude.
You're that kind of crazy, you know? that's groovy, you know, like
I like this dude. And you know what's funny is I didn't like him in the beginning. Like, I was like, this is a piece of shit.
I didn't like him, but once we had that moment where he kind of explained his whole like anger towards Starfleet and all of that, I was like, okay, I understand it.
Well, it sucks too because he's a scientist in the middle of a war.
Right.
You know, and he didn't sign up
takes
for
over,
a war.
And the military exactly. takes over his project and basically, you know, utilizes it, which we found out, like, which happened the same thing in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek with Scotty, the trans-war beaming. You know, yeah. they confiscated that equation and used it for them. So it was kind of the same, basically the same thing. But in this, you know, in each episode, he has gotten likable. He has warmed up to both Tilly and Michael. And I was really kind of digging him, you know. And then, so, you know, all in all, like, we had some really great character development. And that was one of the cool things. But yeah, but it was like, but the big mystery is like Lorca, because he's like, well, we'll go save Sarek, you know, and even like Michael was kind of like, sir, like, have you taken a fucking leave of your senses? What the fuck? Like, you know, surprised that he's like, well, I didn't do it for him. I, you know, basically saying he did it for her. And afterwards I was like, he really needs her on his side.
Yeah. Well, he reinstates her too. He gives her a science specialist.
Yeah.
So we're going to see her with the comm badge and everything next joint. She's back in Starfleet.
Yeah.
You know, because he said in a previous episode that he has that power in wartime to pick whoever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
So.
And so, yeah, so it's kind of, it's going to be interesting. And I was like, when I saw for next week's episode, I'm like, oh, causality loop, you know, we're back to that.
That's going to be a fun episode.
Yeah. Dude. Fucking Mud is back. I was like going, oh, there he is.
One thing I do want to say before we end this, though, is I like the dude who plays Sarek. And I hope we see him again because I think he's doing a really good job. That's like your classic what you want to see from a Vulcan.
Yeah.
You know, and it's done. It's not done in it because the Klingons, I'm getting used to them, but we can see it's being done a slightly different way and and stuff like that. But the Vulcan's a Vulcan. Like, it doesn't change.
They're still a dick no matter what.
But I think the issue with that is, too, is because if we're being fair, Vulcans dramatically changed in TNG.
Yeah.
You know, but we're in the original series timeline right now.
Well, everything between
we all Enterprise, knew what Vulcans were back then. So.
Yeah, between Enterprise and TNG, like the Vulcans were very leery of humans. You know, like in Enterprise, they always tried to coddle them, and that's what always pissed Archer off. Was like, you know, the hatred with the Vulcans because it's like, you know, their superiority. And then even in TNG, I mean, in the TOS, it was that humans haven't matured to that point yet.
Well, I think the big issue that I got when I was watching Enterprise is that just Vulcans and humans think differently. So Vulcans being so logical, they're very cautious and it causes them to be slow because they're like space isn't going anywhere. You know, they have that kind. But humans are more like, oh, I have to go see what's out there, you know, and that causes them to take more risks. But they also move quicker because by the time we get to the 24th century, human technology is matched with Vulcan technology. You know, so
one of the things I did want to mention, and I've heard this on, you know, a couple of shows and I've read it too. One of the big issues, and I kind of looked at it a little bit, that one of the issues with the Klingons, I think, is because of the way they speak. Everybody was saying, a lot of people are saying it's because they are kind of trying to enunciate every single word that it kind of slows down as opposed to the way we hear Klingons before, you know,
Then also too they make them, and I know it's accurate, but they make them speak Klingon the entire time,
right?
And it's in Star Trek they never do that. They'll speak the first few lines in Klingon, and they switch to English because the audience is smart enough to know, okay, they're still speaking Klingon,
right?
But for my benefit, they're speaking English, so I know what they're saying. But if the Klingon scene gets long, I'm just reading a book at that point.
Right.
You know, and let's be honest, the Klingon language is cool, but it's a little grating to the ears after a while.
Yeah.
And it's a little harsh.
And even the way that they're speaking, you can kind of hear that they're
articulating hamming it up a little bit.
Each and every word. And it's like, okay, this isn't theater. You know, you can kind of say that subtitles are going to help. But yeah, I mean, there could be a point where they did this in Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country. They also, I mean, fuck, if you even want to go further back, you did this in one of my favorite movies, Hunt for Red October. when the first couple of scenes on the Russian sub was done in Russian, and then the camera did this pan across this person, went to the other side, and then suddenly they were speaking English now. But you knew that they were, you know, spill in Russian, but now we didn't have to read the subtitles. It was like, okay, now it's English. We should be able to do, they should be able to do that. You know, I it is a little grating to the ears, and it is, those scenes slow down so much.
And I guess I get it. I guess they're doing that because the Klingon language is a fully functional language now. People have been adding words and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, you know, from Star Trek 3 is when they fully developed the whole Klingon language.
Right.
You know, and then used it a lot in Next Gen and DS9. You know, so it was, you know, and it got full-fledged as you go into that. But it's like, you know, we kind of got to keep the tempo going, guys.
The sad thing, my favorite Klingon in the show right now is the main bad guy, the one when they were doing that little meeting between the Federation and the one with Sarek was supposed to show up to.
Right.
And then the Klingons kill the neutral party. I can't remember their names.
Yeah.
Kill them off. And they were fucking dope looking.
Oh,
Can we say how cool they fucking look? Yeah. But that dude that was the hologram, the one who double crossed the torchbearer.
Right.
He's like the cool, he's the most Klingon of the Klingons. Like, he's like, fuck you.
He's the Gowron of this
series. Yeah, I miss Gowron.
I do, too. Can't we just have, like, a forebearer and a Gowron show up? Because it's those eyes.
And, I want Gowron to show up.
You just want him to go, Worf! You
know? Yeah, I want Gowron to show up in fucking TNG makeup. Like, they didn't even try. He's got the TNG uniform on.
TNG uniform, right?
K-pock! It's just fucking great. I forgot that he died, by the way.
In real life?
No, Gowron died.
Oh, yeah. He
Worf killed him. Yeah.
Worf killed him.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah. All right. So, So that brings us to the end of our recap. Looks like we have about, what was it, 3 more episodes before the break. And then we will return. Then we will come return with this back in January when new episodes return. So, hope you guys enjoy these little recaps. We actually have pretty good fun with these. Tune in on Friday for our regular Away Team episode, where we are the Samaritan Snare, where you're dealing with the pack lids.
Yes.
We make things. We want things that go.
We find things. We find things that make us go. I love the pack lids, dude.
It's because
there's such a weird fucking thing.
And there's very few races that you can find as an intellectual equal.
Well, I was reading the show, like the Memory Alpha notes on that episode, and the packlets were created as like almost like a test. So the writer was like, he goes, I knew if I came up with something completely ridiculous, they'd make it work. And I'm like, fuck, they really did. Because it's stupid. When you think about it, it's ridiculous. Like, you're like, these things, these people are so fucking stupid.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what I'm doing, you have 2 ways to help out. One, you can make a one-time donation to make this show self-sustaining through either PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. Check the show notes for details and links. Or 2, you can share us on social media or review us on Apple Podcasts. That will make the algorithm gods, you know, promote our show to an unsuspecting public. You can also stalk me on Facebook, facebook.com/thelazygeeks4, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, or TikTok under @thelazygeeks, all one word. If you're old school, you can email us at thelazygeeksnetwork@gmail.com. Want to read some news, blogs, or just some of my random musings? Check out the blog at thelazygeeks4.wordpress.com. So that's it for me this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas. Wanna beam up.